Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
Yo, what's going on? This is How to Kill an Hour with me, Nick Bright, and of course, with our illustrious host,
Marcus Bronzy. Illustrious. Threw me for a second there, bro. Illustrious.
Come on.
Calling me words that I have to go on the internet and find out what it means. Google, what does illustrious mean? Oh, that's what it means. Oh, well-known, respected, and admired for my past achievements. Ah, thank you very much, Nick.
Come on, Mr. Marcus, you know what I mean? Been doing his thing for a while.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you've got to be careful now because people might say something really nice sounding, but it's actually really mean. So you could be like, here we are with the facetious Marcus Bronzy. Hey, yeah, me. How you doing there, bro?
Yeah, not too bad, man. You know, this situation in the UK with the lockdown coming to a bit of an end. Actually, today, as we record this today, some of the rules have changed in... You have to really break it down because it's not the whole UK. It's England, Wales and Scotland, apart from two different parts of Scotland who have not been released. We're allowed to now eat in restaurants and eat in pubs and stuff like that, or drink in pubs, I should say, and eat if you want. So that's pretty cool. You know, we're allowed to do some stuff.
Weird. It just feels weird. I'm just not ready. I'm going to try it eventually, but it's so alien to me to go and sit inside a venue that is not a house.
It's very strange, isn't it? Because like I was reading, there was an article online that I was reading the other week. Well, it was about a month ago. And it's essentially how there's this kind of wave through the media and, you know, just generally how everybody can't wait to get back to normal. Everybody can't wait to... Oh, holidays are on from today as well. If it's going to a green list country and currently the only worthwhile one is Portugal. But anyway, like how people can't wait to, you know, get out and get back to normal and go back to the office and do this and that and blah, blah, blah. But there's actually like a big section of society who are quite neglected, who... are feeling super anxious about going back to the way things are, just because, you know, they don't know if they're ready for it. And, you know, I can kind of understand it. Like I fall in the other camp, to be honest with you. Like I am very much looking forward to being able to do, you know, normal stuff again, but I can understand why it can feel massively overwhelming and scary and worrying for people, you know, after a global pandemic, to kind of go back to being in crowds and, you know, being in an office. And it's going to make everybody think, isn't it? You know, like even now, if you're in the shop or whatever, Marcus, you hear someone cough or whatever. Before, you wouldn't even batter an eyelid if you heard someone cough or sneeze or whatever. Now you hear it and you're like, yo, bro, like, get away from me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I suffer from hay fever and I walked into a shop the other day and I did a massive hay fever sneeze. And like, I swear to God, everyone stopped and turned, and I was like, it's hay fever, guys.
Clear the place, bro. Yeah. Listen, I don't want to reveal how boring I am in real life, but I was watching the World Snooker Championship the other day, right? And the final for it, because they used it as a pilot event. I don't know if you heard about these pilot events around the UK where, like, they did a big rave in Liverpool, which was one of the pilot events where, like, they basically had a club night with no social distancing, no nothing. The Brit Awards, they used that as a pilot event, and the World Snooker Championship, they used it as a pilot event as well. So like they had in the Crucible Theatre in Sheffield, they had a full crowd indoors for the final. Wow. So it's a sellout. But when I was watching it, because obviously snooker's mad quiet, You know, even though there's a crowd in there, they obviously cheer when, you know, stuff happens. But when the players are taking a shot or whatever, it's really quiet. But you always hear people cough or sneeze. And I was thinking, God, if I was in there now, mate, and I was sat next to the person coughing, I'd probably be like, I'm getting out of here. You know what I mean?
Would you be like, I love snooker, but not that much?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say I love it. I mean, that's a bit of a stretch, but you know, I'll watch it if it's on telly. But like, but yeah, like if I was in there and someone was like, I'll be like, yeah, I'm out of here, mate.
You'd be like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm out.
But, even though they had to do like a test to go in and pass, yeah, and then they have to do a test when they leave and all the track and trace and blah blah blah. But still, in your mind, you know, that's going to be messing with you.
100%. I mean, look, with my mates and stuff, I've actually got a mate coming into the country this week. We're all going to meet up outside and we're just going to have to just get the swabs out and chuck them around in our noses a little bit and then it's see mad, where we go it? From there. Apparently, you're supposed to be able to hug from the 17th of May, which is today. But yeah, I'm not really up for that, mate. I think I'm good with the elbow yeah, punch.
It's weird, isn't it? Because even a handshake now feels mad.
Have you shaken a hand since lockdown?
Like, I think I may have done it, like, where it just slips your mind. You know what I mean? Like, I may have done it, like...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A handful of times, if you pardon the pun. Like, but it's mainly fist bumps and elbow kind of, or forearm kind of touches, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Funny, yeah. This, could you imagine though, you're out on a date. What point do you know, like, to, do you know what I mean? Is it a fist bump thing if you're on a first date?
I get what you're saying, but I kind of feel like if you're both signed up to go in on a date, then you're both pretty open to physical contact, let's put it that way. Right. You know what I'm saying? If you weren't signed up for physical contact, you probably wouldn't go on the date, you know what I mean? Yeah, with a stranger enough that you've never met. But if you're going on a date, that kind of says you've wavered the the no physical contact rule. You're up for it.
Because
I know people, listen, let me tell you, in my place of work, I'll spare naming them because, you know, I don't want them to get in trouble. But there's a lot of people in my place of work who have been dating all the way through this, mate. Like,
really?
Even at the peak, they've been going on dates. Like, you know, maybe walking outside, even when you weren't meant to meet people from outside of your household and that. But I know people that have been doing it all the way through. Like, and that is just in my place of work. So just think nationally, globally. How many people have been doing that, you know?
Yeah, people are out here, mate. People are out here. Spread, super spreaders, you little...
Look, you know, I don't like to always lay problems on the doorstep of the young, because it's not all young people that are doing this. But, like, a lot of young people are just raggo about it, innit? They're just like, I get a cold, like, I just keep cracking on.
Yeah,
but actually,
yeah,
it's that is the most common kind of outcome. But... Mm. The people that suffer from the long COVID, you know what I mean? That's the issue. And that's what I don't want, you know? Like, you hear all these horror stories of people not being able to walk upstairs without taking a rest and blah, blah, blah. Like, that'd kill me off, you know?
Yeah, that's horrendous, man.
The COVID report on how to kill an hour.
Thank you. And in this episode, we're actually going to talk about some tech we've been trying.
Yeah.
Right. actually, this is something that I thought might be of interest to you, Nick. I got sent a monitor from Samsung, and you've been talking to me saying that you wanted to upgrade your visual output with your work from home situation.
100%, because I've moved recently, and luckily enough, the place that I've moved to, the people that lived here before, they built like a bit of a studio in the garden. Like, I would have done it better myself if it was me, but you know, it's there, and I'm not gonna rebuild it because that's just long and expensive. But
fuck it, you bought it, you can cuss it. Hey, listen, you lot did a shit job, man. Nick will sort it out. Don't worry, Nick, you'll get it up there.
But essentially, yeah, I'm gonna put a bit of a studio in there. Nice. So at last, I want to buy a secondary monitor because all the years I've been doing stuff, I've always just worked off of my laptop and used the monitor on the laptop, you know. And I'm sick of that now. I want a big monitor, so I can, I don't know, really look at those documents, you know, get them in full 4K or whatever. So I have been doing a bit of research. I haven't fully gone in yet because the studio's not ready. Because again, don't want to bore you about my life. There's a lot of building work happening in my house, but like in the next few weeks, it will be done, and then I'll be able to start moving stuff in there. So I'm going to think about buying this monitor. So I've done kind of like basic research, and the one that it's out of two, really. And it's funny because the Samsung one was one of the ones I was looking at. In fact, both were Samsung. One was the kind of curved one, and the other one was just the massive wide one, which isn't curved, because, you know, the curved one, cash money a bit, isn't it? You know what I mean? If I'm being real.
It's not light, is it? It's heavyweight.
I looked at it and I was like, this is sick. This is nice. Oh my God. And then I looked at the price and I was like, yeah, maybe not.
Well, you know what? Well, they have fired over the, not the the curved one, but they fired over the M7 one to me, which is their kind of, I think they've kind of marketed it as a kind of smart monitor, which is great for working from home. Like, even when you look at all of the press behind it, if you have a look at these online, they've always got like a split screen with, like, on one side it's got spreadsheets and on the other side it's got Netflix on it. And I suppose in your studio, you kind of want both of those things, I guess. Like, you kind of want to be able to do your work, but I guess you want to be able to, like, I don't know, have a little computer game or watch a little Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that.
So what they've done is they've got this 32-inch flat screen that they sent over. And to be honest, with me, with regards to how it worked and the way I set it up, is I kind of looked at it like a TV that could be a monitor instead of a monitor that could be a TV. I don't know if Samsung would like that or not. I don't care because this is editorial, right? But like, I felt like, let me try this out as a TV, because I've actually got like a Samsung TV, a newer one. And I looked at, when I got it out of the box, I was like, oh, this is the same remote as my TV. So this clearly is decent. And what it is a smart TV for starters. So you can connect it to your internet. Boom. Netflix, Prime, BBC iPlayer, Now TV, all of that stuff you can fire on for it, like through apps, right? Cool. What is good, though, is because it's a UHD TV, 4K, you can watch the high-end, high-quality stuff on Prime and on Netflix as well. And I used to be of this camp. I used to be like, look, on a small screen, on a 32-inch, I'm not going to be able to tell the difference between 4K and HD. And I'll be real with you, Nick. You can tell the difference, bruv. It's very crisp, very clean. So, I was doing a bit of that. And it was like, you know, watching... What did I watch? Love and Robots, actually, season 2. Have you seen that yet? Are you Netflix or Nick?
Yeah, I'm a Netflix, but I haven't checked that yet. It's on the list. Yeah. I've got a few things on the list. Nice. It's interesting what you say, actually, though, about the whole kind of monitor / TV debate. Yeah. Because when I was looking at these monitors online, that is what I was thinking. I was looking at them thinking, like, this is just like a TV now that people are plugging into their computers.
Yeah.
Because obviously you can do that if you want to, if you really want to, you can do that with your TV anyway. Exactly. You know what I mean? That you've actually bought as a TV, not as a monitor, you know? The crossover is becoming quite interesting.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like it's now, we've got to a stage where it's like, what can your screen do, innit? So now it's like, much less are you going to compromise quality or the fact, you know, can it plug into your computer? Now, we all know that computers have HDMI outs or high quality outputs. If you can plug it into your TV, then you're just going to get that extra screen real estate. And to be fair, that's what I did, because I run a slightly older Mac in the studio here. So I had to plug it in with a HDMI lead. But if you've got Apple TV compatible devices like an iPhone or an iPad or a compatible MacBook, you can actually broadcast straight to the TV wirelessly, bruv.
That was
very nice, because as a man as well who doesn't want to have extra wires, I've always got wires around me because we're always doing podcasts and stuff, whatever. That's a nice little touch as well. So you can screen mirror yourself and watch what's on your screen on the TV as well. Connect to it with Bluetooth audio as well. Or if you've got a Bluetooth like soundbar or something, it connects wirelessly. So yeah, man, I had a bit of fun with it. I mean, when I realized I could connect my iPhone to it, I thought that was pretty cool, just watching stuff off my phone on the TV, like broadcasting straight to Netflix on the TV. It just worked. And in terms of like an actual display, I set it up. I did some stuff on my stories actually on Insta, and I saved it down as a story highlight reel you can watch. But I plugged it in, used it for editing, and then like at a press of a button, I can flick over to Netflix. It's not something really I can go into with like loads of detail with regards to what it can do, because it's a screen. And does it, can you work on it? Yeah. Can you watch TV on it? Yeah. Doesn't, you don't really need it to do much else. But what it can do, this is another little cheeky trick out of the box. If you've got a Samsung phone, it actually has this thing, I think it's called Dext or something like that. And it is, let me find out what it's called actually. Samsung Dex, that's it, D-E-X. And you can actually plug your phone, wirelessly connect your phone to the screen, and it will use your phone's computing power as an actual processor for it. So you can use your screen like you would a normal computer, but when you're clicking open on like a Microsoft Word document or a web page, it's using your phone as the actual like tower for your computer instead. So you, with your phone and a screen, you can be fully out here doing emails and YouTube and stuff like that, which is a nice little touch as well, man.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very, like, listen, any, you know me, I love wireless stuff, bruv. Like, I think more stuff should be going that way. Like, it still bugs me that in my current car, you can't get wireless CarPlay yet. Like, I still have to plug in a lead to get CarPlay. Like, I'm like, come on. Like, what are we waiting for here?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's mad? A wireless CarPlay is here, you know, it's available, brother. It's just they need to unlock it. I feel like with this screen as well, like, I feel like Apple Play, like, to be able to screen mirror, the technology's been there, but I feel like Apple and Samsung needed to have the conversation to make it cool. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now that Apple AirPlay 2 is there, it means you can use your mobile device, and hopefully, you know, all computers with, you know, Macs will be able to just throw your screen up onto your TV screen. So, you know, Nick, I've tried the M7. That's my thing. I like it. It's good. It's probably pound for pound one of the best screens I've seen. It's not the cheapest, but Samsung isn't really here about cheap. Samsung's about kind of quality of visuals and quality of connection. So they've done their job there. We've got full details about the product, howtokillanhour.com, and we'll put links in the show description. But I think what we need to do next is we need to get that curved screen to you, Nick, so you can try that out and you can let us know what you think, if you're up for it, bro.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Because like I said, I'm up for buying one of these, because I'm trying to deck out the studio. You know, I want to make it nice. I want to do the whole kind of have a TV in there, so that I can watch sport and stuff like that. Put like, I don't know, Philips Hue lights in the kind of roof. You know, the strip lights,
yes. So
you can change the colours and all of that. Like, I'm looking to do all of that in there, but it's a little bit down the line. But the monitor cave was one of the first things that I wanted to do. So yeah, definitely, I'm on that.
Man cave incoming. That's what you want to do, Nick. So yeah, the next thing that I had a go on, Nick, was, it's actually quite a big deal. I think you were cussing me on Instagram for not inviting you for this. It was the Ford Transit Custom Nugget that I got to have a go on.
Yeah, listen, you're upsetting me. On, because I don't even know half the time what you're up to. I mean, you don't have to run your diary by me. Like, I'm cool. But like, what I mean by that is, like, I'll just be chilling in my house and I'll fire up Instagram as you do, and then I'll see Marcus standing or sitting or posing next to like a sick car, or, you know, this new Transit Nugget van. Like, and I'm like, bro, where was the invite for this? Because this nugget, like, I've always secretly wanted to go on like a road trip of some kind, yeah. But what puts me off is the lack of space in a normal car. I'd still probably do it in a normal car, you know, because I like the idea of doing it. The big dream for me is kind of doing the Pacific Highway in America, which is the one all the way up the West Coast. You drive from basically from Canada to Mexico, or the other way around, whichever way around you want to do it, or Route 66, where you go Chicago to LA. Like, I really want to do those and stop in a motel, you know, like the proper, like, American way of doing it, innit? Which Americans are probably like, oh, my God, bloody hell, that is so cliche. A bit like when people say to us, like, they want to go and see Big Ben or Buckingham Palace. And we're like, really? Like, you want to go and see that shit?
Hey, man, I want to see a red telephone box. It's like, fucking hell, really, bro? They smell like piss.
Yeah, where the tramps sleep. I was about to say that. You basically want to go and see a tramp hotel. Cool. All right. But yeah, like, because we're not American, innit? Yeah. For us, it's like, oh, that's what I really want to do. But like, you had the transit nugget, which, can I just say, looked sick. I've only seen the pictures that you posted. I've not managed to delve any deeper. But like, I'd really love to have, like, just gone in there to see what it's like. So tell me about it.
For starters, Nick, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were into stuff like this. I thought you might be like, camper van, yeah, whatever, bruv.
Because it got running water, bruv. That's the difference. You know, like, a lot of these camper vans, yeah, what puts me off is they don't have running water, so you can't have a wash or anything, you know? Like,
yeah.
The transit nugget, I saw you in the video that you posted, you put the tap on, you know, like, water. I was like, oh my God, this is a game changer.
Bruv, there's whole different levels here, out here. And I just want to say, if you are somebody who has a motorhome, or, because that's what I learned, it's not all camper vans. If you have a camper van or a motorhome or whatever, I'm not part of the community, so I might get some of the phrases wrong. I learned that very quickly, Nick, because one thing that happened is...
van life is a big thing. I don't know if you've seen this on Instagram.
Bruv, it's serious. It is so serious. Hashtag van life. Is maybe it's because people can't travel as much. People have been enjoying van life. Like, van life is a big, big thing. It's a big hashtag, isn't it, on the gram? Massive hashtag.
Yeah, massive. But, I mean, but the real vanners, if there's anybody listening to this, they'll probably say that you're lightweight. That you're lightweight because you've got like a purpose built. The transit nugget is purpose built, isn't it? Whereas the van life people, they get like an actual transit or, you know, the equivalent and they strip it and then build their own.
Yeah. No, I'm not about that life, man. I want it to work. I don't want to have something that breaks out. I don't know how it works. But anyway,
exactly. I wouldn't trust myself to build it. Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, I ain't building that. Are you mad? I'll be on road and then it's all just falling apart.
I'll try and do something smart. Like, let me put a microwave under the front seat so that I can have, you know, microwave food whenever I want. Microwave in my ass for half an hour. But anyway, the Ford Transit Custom Nugget, otherwise known as the Ford Nugget. I've asked Ford why it was called the Nugget, and after some hunting around, I think it's because they say it's like a nugget of gold. I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, fine, whatever. I like chicken nuggets. So what's this van like? So basically, it's a custom design Ford camper van that is made for you to live in, basically. Like, it's got loads in it, like, and I did do a video of it, Nick, which you're going to put out soon, like a YouTube video, which you can see everything. And I did got loads of camping kit as well, and loads of summer holiday related tech that I'll probably talk to you about in another show, really. But the Ford Nugget is meant to be your home away from home. And I don't know, where do you want me to start with? I mean, you mentioned the kitchen as having running water. I can get to that in a second, but one of the things that stood out to me is that it's got two beds in it, so it's got two sleeping areas,
which in itself is sick, because if I'm being honest, if you look at it from the outside, I did think to myself when you posted the original picture, because you put some stuff under it saying like two beds, you know, kitchen, blah blah blah, and I was like, how, where, like, I don't know where this is all fitting. So, like, explain to me how it's got two beds in and where exactly they are.
So in the middle, so imagine you've got like a transit van. It's big, right? So you've got enough space to lie down in it behind the back seats, right? That's a given. What you do is there's these middle seats that you can actually fold down, and they've created enough space to have like a bed area, which you can sleep in, right? That's one of the beds. And then the other bed is, if you pop up the roof, like, I'm sure you can imagine any pop-up roof van at the back, you actually have a bed that fits in the ceiling area as well. Now, both the beds are cool. One's better than the other in one ways, one's better than the other in other ways. I mean, the one that's on the ground floor, should we say, the ground floor bed, that's nice because it's kind of insulated from sound, and it's a little bit more insulated from heat and cold and stuff in the night.
Right,
but
okay,
obviously you're sleeping on folded down seats, so it's not the most comfortable. Whereas the one that's up top, that's comfortable, but it's a slightly more exposed experience, because when the roof pops up, the bits on the side that kind of keep you away from the elements, they're only kind of like bits of tent. So that can either be a bit warmer or a bit colder, depending on the temperature. But
yeah, yeah,
you can actually have like 4 adult human beings sleeping in there at the same time, which is mad. And it's got this little heater on it as well, which is separate from the engine, that uses a little bit of the diesel that they fill it up with, and it heats up the cabin if you need to give it a little blast of heat. So you can set it for like, go on for half an hour at 1 a.m, go on for half an hour at 3 a.m, and heat you up a little bit as well.
Because
one of the nights was a little bit chilly, and I was like, yeah, okay, it's pretty fun. So yeah, that's the bed situation. So there are technically 2 beds on it. I think I enjoyed sleeping on the bed that was up top a bit more, because it just felt more, it's more comfortable, man. It's just more comfortable.
Was it cold though? Because I'm guessing you were in the UK when you did this, and we're not blessed with the best climate.
We actually had a good weekend. I actually headed over to Cofton Holidays in Devon, which is, I'll say big shout out to those guys, because flipping hell, they've got a nice caravan site with all the facilities that you need if you haven't got a camper van that has its own toilet in it and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, we headed over there, and it was just like, during the day, bruv, it was just gloriously warm. In the evenings, it was a bit cooler. And I was thinking to myself, this is definitely a summertime vibe to be using this camper van up top. Yeah. I don't think it's something like in the coldest winters when you get -4 temperature outside, you'd want to be sleeping up top in this van. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that's pretty cool. And in the kitchen area, all right, we'll get onto that. I mean, it's got a fully equipped kitchen. It's got 2 gas hobs in there, Nick, so you can cook up your beans or make a cup of tea. Yeah, it's wicked.
Beans on toast, you know
what I mean?
Beans
on toast, you know it, man. Loads of space to store stuff. It's got the sink and a tap, which has hot and cold water, which is a big look. Like, yeah, I was very happy with that. The hobs are on gas. The canister, the heating for the water runs off electricity, but you can hook up the van to electric when you're at a campsite, so it runs off the electric. But it also charges itself as well, so you get a little bit of charge out of it. It has regular 240 volt things that you can plug in your regular devices to. And it carries, I think, 42 liters of water. Regular water and grey water as well. Do you know what grey water is?
No. I don't know anything like that. Is it water that's grey? What are we talking about here?
It's your used water is what we call grey water. That's what it is.
Dirty of course. So like once you've like, I don't know, like washed up or whatever, that goes into a different tank, like a sewage tank.
Exactly.
Not sewage though, because, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm guessing there's not a toilet on there.
Well, you can get 2 models actually. So there's one which has a toilet on the back. The one we had didn't have a toilet because I think for the press van, I don't think Ford want to be switching out toilets all the time.
Yeah,
I totally understand that. But you can get one with a toilet on it, which I think is going to be more popular if
100.
This world situation kind of continues to fluctuate. Because if I want to make sure that me and my family are safe, I'd rather we all have a loo that we use in our bubble and no one else uses it.
100%. Like if I was going to order this van, if I was going to buy one or whatever, I'd definitely buy the one with the toilet. I'm guessing it doesn't have a shower. That's the only thing that they won't be able to... Because I know some camper vans do have showers in.
Well, it's a yes or no, Nick, right? So there is a shower that you can plug in at the back. And this will be shown on the YouTube video that plugs in. But the shower at the moment only runs cold water. And I think Ford are missing a trick here. I think they should be able to let you run. I don't know why, but you can't run hot water through the shower head yet.
That's mad. I'm not having no cold showers, bruv. Like Ford, I know you're a global company, yeah? But you were... Ford's a British company, right? It started here.
That's an American company, bruv. Henry Ford.
I'm thinking of General Motors. I'm thinking of Vauxhall. They're British,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Ford. But that's why.
Bro, you're talking to a guy that's met one of the Fords, you know.
That's a total flop on my behalf. Obviously, I know Ford is an American company because of the classic Ford Mustang and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, if they were a British company, the point I was going to make is you lot are failing us massively. You know the temperature here is not equipped for cold showers. Come on, man. Jesus, but I mean, now you know they're an American company, so like if you're in like, I don't know, Florida or somewhere like that, you know, outdoor cold showers, here for it, you know.
Bro, if you're in LA and it's a hot day and you're pulled up out and you just, I don't know, you're on the side of a mountain somewhere, it's roasting hot outside, no qualms about having a little splashdown with some ice cold water. However, here in the UK, we require a warm shower, a hot shower. In fact, for some of us, a shower is what warms us up in the morning after we get out of our bed and we freeze on the way to the bathroom. Do you know what I mean?
Trust me.
So a hot, steamy shower is something that's needed. So yeah, I think that's something that they can pick up on. But in terms of like, oh, it's in terms of camper van as well, it's got areas to chill in as well. So if you, with the front seats, you can actually spin them around so they face the middle seats. Put out a little table. You can have yourself a little, I don't know, a little social area where you can have a few sandwiches, a little bit of food as well. Play some cards. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like you had the time of your life in this van.
I really enjoyed being able to just go somewhere. And this is what's fascinating. I found that a lot of the motorhome community are people that want to travel around, but they don't want to have to stay in the same place. However, they are fine with just putting up their awning and staying somewhere for 6 weeks at a time. So I met this couple, like, honestly, because we, honestly, Ford, like, they hooked us up with a press version of it. So it had like a number plate that spelt Nugget, bright orange, whereas most motorhomes are like those kind of cream ones. So we like pulled
up. Everyone saw you coming, basically.
Like, vroom, yeah. And people would just come over and like have conversations. And I was like, so like, this couple came up and they were like eyeing it up. And it was funny because they were comparing it to the Volkswagen California, which is a really popular RV as well, or motorhome, or whatever you want to say, like camper van. So they were like telling us what the difference was and kind of where the Ford was better in terms of where its kitchen was nice. And they were talking about how the kitchen in the California is kind of in the middle, in a different place. And they were talking about us about that. And I was like, how do you travel? Like, when you travel, what do you do in the normal world and what are you doing now? And they're like, we'll drive to Spain and we'll stay on a campsite for 6 weeks and then we'll come back. But because we can't get to Spain at the moment because travels, whatever, we're just going to stay here. We're about half an hour down the road from our daughter. We stay here for a few days. It's like our own little space. And then we shoot off.
People like this, though, my first question is, what are they like? How have they got money to just go somewhere for 6 weeks? Where are they getting these peas from? What are they doing?
When you look at like a retired couple, yeah. Well, it's two ways of thinking about it, yeah. So like, if you're a retired couple and you just buy the vehicle, if you go somewhere, it's really cheap to just rent a bit of field that has an electric hookup. We're talking like a few pounds every night. Do you know what I mean? Depending on where it is or the quality of the facilities you got. So that's relatively cheap. So you're driving there, fuel. I mean, I even saw some motorhomes that were bigger than ours that had their cars hooked up on the back. So they had a small car hooked up on the back.
Love that.
Yeah, man. So you drive somewhere 6 weeks, you know, could be a few hundred quid to stay somewhere instead of if you were to pay hotel money. Mad. That'd be mad though. So it could be cheaper.
The only difference is, like I said, I just want one with a shower, a hot shower in.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. That for me, if you can get that, obviously the difference is in the UK, you know, in comparison to say like an America where everything's just supersized in it. In America, you've got 100%. Like Winnebagos, which is basically like a fucking hotel on wheels. Like we just ain't got the roads for all of that over here.
Yeah.
But I have seen some RVs or camper vans that do have, you know, fully fitted bathrooms in. That for me is quite key, I think, because if I could have an RV that's completely self-contained, that's the dream. Do you know what I mean? That right there is the dream, where I don't have to go into communal showers and all of that, because it's just a ball ache, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, not even on like a, it's dirty thing, which, you know, they can be, but it's just a ball ache having to like go into a communal shower. Like, you have to take your little wash bag with you and take this. And it's just like a pain. Whereas if it's just all there,
it's like
when you go and stay at a friend's house. It's never, even if it's a close brethren, it's not like staying in your own house, is it? You know,
100%.
It's annoying in a 100%. Way. Like, in the night when you're having beers or whatever, it's all fun because it's in the moment. And in the morning when you wake up and you're like, fucking hell, I've got to get in the shower and I don't have my right stuff and I don't have this and I don't have, like, you know what I mean? It's a bit like that.
100%. I mean, I think I try and explain this to people, like when they're like, oh, you traveling around hotels. I'm like, nah, man, hotels have lost so, like, all, you know, like the novelty of hotels when you were younger, like it was exciting. But now for me, a hotel or traveling around, all I want is comfort. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to feel comfortable. But you can't feel comfortable if it's not your house. Do you know what I mean? So having your own space that you can tweak and have it as your own, that's the one. And I think with the Nugget, like, I think you hit on a good point with size. There were people that had like basically yards on the back of a truck. Yeah. But I was like, I don't know how you're going to get around. Like, you couldn't fit down, you know, the width restrictions that we have in London and other parts of the UK, where it's like 6'6". Yeah. They're not getting through that. Whereas the Transit, because it's a transit van, which is made for basically people that want to get stuff around London, UK, whatever, it can fit. So it's like just under 2 meters wide, so you can get through most things. And I think the toilet is a bit longer at the back. So yeah, the compromise is if you want to have something which is like more of a house, you got to go wider. But this was fun to drive around and like getting to places. I wasn't as worried about having to get through width restrictions, because at the moment, Google Maps doesn't let you put in anything that's like a commercial vehicle details in. So it presumes that you're driving a car. That's why when I went there, another cool bit of tech actually, which we'll talk about properly in another show, is I got a TomTom Camper Go.
That's good.
And I could put in the actual width of the vehicle and the length of the vehicle, and it adjusted my routes for travel
right,
so that I didn't fuck up, basically.
That's really handy to know, because like in the same lane, but like kind of not about camper vans, just quickly.
Yeah.
At the moment in London, especially, I don't know about the rest of the UK or the world, but in London, these little fucking plant pot road closures that have you seen these?
Mad.
Oh man, it's like in COVID, I don't know why they've done it in COVID, when you know they're telling us not really to get public transport and social distance from people. So like, look, I know it's a contentious issue, because on the one hand, obviously you've got the environmental side of things where, you know, we do need to cut down traveling around in cars and stuff like that for the sake of, you know, global warming and stuff. But then equally, they're telling us not to get the tube. They're telling us not to get the bus. They're telling us not to get the trains. So like, you know, to stick these little plant pot road closures in, like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, essentially you'll go to turn down a road, and then it's just like these big plant pots, literally like massive plant pots in the road. And you can't go down the road anymore, but the sat navs don't know. The sat navs, it's like they haven't been updated, or they, you know, because these aren't, it's almost like they're not official road changes or something. Because you'll go to turn down it and you can't go. And then some of them, you can go down it, but you're not meant to. And there's cameras. And if you do go down it, you get a fine. So, yeah, it's a nightmare at the minute. The amount of times I've driven places in the past year and a bit during the lockdown or during COVID, and like, I'll go down a road and then my nav will go, turn left. And it's like, bro, the little fucking plant pots are there. I can't turn left. That shit's annoying. So I can imagine when you've got like a camper van or whatever, that's basically just life all the time, because a lot of roads have got, you know, like you said, the width restriction things in. And you know, if you were just using your normal sat nav, it'd take you down there, and then you'll get to it and you'll be like, shit.
Yeah, I don't know if you even need a special license for some of these big vehicles. They're that big, you know, some of these motorhomes.
The Winnebago things, man, are nuts. Like, I know there's a guy that I worked with a few years back. He went to, I can't remember where he went. He went somewhere in America. It wasn't Coachella, but he went to like a big music event in America. And him and his mates all rented a big fuck off Winnebago, like a big one. And like, I don't think any of them had, because he put pictures up of him, videos up of him driving it and stuff. And I don't think he's got like a special license, but it was a massive one where like the passenger seat like twists, you know what I mean? Like it's almost like an office chair and that, you know? Like,
yes.
And then like behind it had like big kitchen. The ceiling is mad high. I was like, you could live in one of these things literally all the time. You don't even need a house.
Yeah. I think that's insane, mate. I don't know. I think you need a proper license to drive, like I said, man, you know. But yeah,
maybe they were just doing it on a Rago one, you know.
Yeah.
So again, I'll spare his name, but yeah, like they were just like driving it around, doing it in shifts, because America's so big, ain't it? Like if you want to drive, sometimes you have to drive all night and that. So yeah, they were like, yeah,
quick digression again. I'm fascinated in the capacity Americans have to drive. Like I was listening to something the other day where it was like, somebody went for an 8 hour drive from Canada to LA, I think it was, or somewhere in America, an 8 hour drive to pick up a car. Eight hours.
In America, like a 2 hour drive, that is like for a lot of people accepted as a standard commute. Do you know what I mean? In the car, like even when I went to Miami, I rented a Mustang and we drove from Miami to Key West, which is like the southernmost point on mainland America. It's closer to Cuba than it is to Miami, closer to Havana. And that was like, I don't know, 3.5 hours each way. But it's just like normal for people to do that commute. Whereas like same. For us in the UK, I drove to Orlando as well because we went to Universal and it's the same, 3.5 hours each way, something like that. But in the UK, like I had to drive to Manchester the other day. From London to Manchester is like, if you don't have any traffic, it's kind of like 3.5 to 4 hours.
Mm.
And like for us, the idea of doing that daily as a daily thing is a total fucking myth. Like people just don't do that. You know, I'm sure there are some people that do it, but generally it is not accepted as a thing. Whereas like you rightfully say, in America, big drives are just part of life, which is, it goes back to an episode that we did a little while back on How to Kill an Hour, where we were talking about electric vehicles.
Mm.
And that's why until they can sort that out and really cater to the American market where they have to do long drives, basically the battery capacity is a real issue for electric vehicles. And, you know, once they have it on lock where you can do those 8 hour drives on one charge, it's a game changer.
Yeah, yeah. They come up with something that's got 1,000 miles per charge on it or something like that, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Real game changer.
That's it.
Like, yeah. And they will get there, you know, it just takes time, you know, technology and all of that. And I love to see what happens when they do, you know, if people do embrace more kind of electric vehicles and that. My issue, I've always got a gripe though, bruv, you know me. My issue is, yeah, but bruv, like electric vehicles, again, I can only talk about London really and the UK. There was all these incentives at the start, get an electric vehicle, you don't have to pay congestion charge, you get free parking, you get this, you get that. So they're slowly stripping that away as more people get electric vehicles. You notice that?
Like, yeah, man.
You know, now you don't get free this and you don't get that. And I'm like, so what? Why are we paying? I thought congestion charge was because you wanted the air to be clean and that, you know what I mean? But, you know, now you're like an electric vehicle, which doesn't have any emissions. You're trying to charge me still. Like, listen, again, I'm going off on tangents here because I just get, you know, angry basically about
stuff. We should
give
you a section called Nick's Gripe every single week. That should be the one, man. But no, it's just the way they do it. I remember when congestion charge was a lot cheaper, and also if you had certain low, like engine category cars, like a smart car, you didn't have to pay congestion charge. Now, boy,
bruv, listen, when there's money to be made, you know, governments all around the world, it's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Oh,
you know,
100%.
I'm getting very local now, so I do apologise. But Marcus, you'll know what I mean. You'll know what I mean. You know, do you know the Queen Elizabeth Bridge on the M25?
Yes.
The bridge that goes over, like,
you have to pay for congestion for that as well.
Well, no, you have to pay a toll for it. Yeah, you've had to do that for ages, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a bridge that goes over the River Thames, if you don't know, right?
Yeah.
And you've had to pay a toll on that for ages. And the point of the toll was to pay for the bridge, right? Fair enough, all right? We'll pay off the bridge by paying to use it at first. The bridge got paid off something mad now, like, I don't know, fucking 10 years ago. You still have to pay. You still got to pay to use it. What? Like, why? It's paid off. Because they want to charge peas, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think they sat in an office and they were like, hey, right, so, Nick, I just found out we've just finished paying off the bridge. So, should we reduce the charge?
Well, how much do we make a year from the bridge? Oh, well, we make about, you know,
this much.
10 That's million or something. I don't know. Like, yeah, we make. Well, maybe we could just keep it in for a bit longer, you know. And the worst thing is they used to be toll booths, so it's like you'd go over the bridge and then you'd get to the end of the bridge and there was a booth. You either had to like contactless your card or chuck money into a bucket and it would open. It's only £1.50, and I think it still might only be £1.50 or £2 or something like that. But like now it's a thing called the Dart Charge.
That's
where
it.
it's all cameras.
Yeah.
And they are sly motherfuckers about this now because they know so many people go over that bridge and they forget to pay the Dart Charge. And then you get a big ass fine because you forgot to pay it. Whereas if it's a physical barrier, you can't forget because you can't go through. You know what I mean?
That's how I found out about it, because I forgot that, like, and I drove over it and I got a letter saying,
yeah,
you've crossed over this 4 times. Here's how much it will cost you. Why don't you just set up an account and we'll take out the payment automatically next time? I was like, that's a good point. And then I was like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You got me now. Bro. Yeah.
Like, that's what they're like. You know, yeah. I haven't been over that bridge for a long time, but, Yeah, because I resent paying the toll now, essentially, because they've paid off the bridge. I'm like, you lot are so greedy.
So what do you do now? Do you just drive the car through the water, or do you just drive around to go the other route?
Where I live now is actually quite close to the... We're being so local here. If you don't live in London, you've got no idea what we're talking about. So I do apologise. But where I live now is quite close to the Blackwall Tunnel. So I just go through that, which you don't have to pay for. Well, yes. In money, but you have to pay for in hours excruciating time. Yeah,
in hours of life.
Fucking traffic. Listen, the Blackwall Tunnel, yeah, you can go there at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're sitting in standstill traffic. That shit is wild.
It's mad. It is. Whenever I go in there, yeah, I literally say a little prayer. Just, please don't be traffic. Please don't be traffic. Please, God, I'll be good today. I'll help an old lady across the road if there just isn't random traffic for no reason. And you get out of it, you literally feel like you've been in a tunnel for years. You're like,
honestly,
I'm breaking out of jail kind of vibe.
You have to wear sunglasses when you come out the other side because you've been underground for so long.
Yeah,
you haven't seen no natural light.
Light hits you like
those people that stayed in the cave recently. Did you hear about that? Yeah, they like stayed underground for something mad, like fucking a million days or some shit, and then they came out and it's like they had to wear sunglasses and stuff
all the time. They're like Riddick.
Yeah. Was that the one with Vin Diesel?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, the one that you said he'd never do a sequel to. And then when the peas came along, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go back on my word.
Listen, I got to respect him for that, though, you know, because it's like, Vin Diesel's been in some crap films.
Yeah,
let's be honest. What was it called? Triple X?
Triple X. Oh, I like Triple X. That was good trash.
But like, that's what I mean. It was pants, but it was like, you'd watch it. But like, he did a second one of those, didn't he?
Yeah.
And look, let me just put this on record right now. And I know there'll be loads of people saying you're mad, but I love Fast and Furious. It is cheesy bad, but I love it. But Vin Diesel just keeps milking that cash cow, doesn't he? You know, even when the other main character sadly passed away, that instead of just like stopping the series, they went, you know what, we just keep cracking.
Keep going, yeah. Put Dwayne The Rock Johnson in there instead. Freaking hell.
That's what I'm saying.
We've got money making. And you know what? It's all about family. Family.
Yeah, everything's sort of about family.
Family and a big barbecue at the end of every friggin'. I feel like every film ends with a big cookout, like a barbecue at the end. Like in their universe, that's how you symbolize like getting over a mission or completing something. You have a big, massive cookout and like beers, isn't it? Cookouts and beers and random people's kids who weren't in the film at all, just running around and playing, like, having fun. Mental. But oh, it's great how we got here from the Ford Nugget. So there you go.
I know, mad.
Ford Nugget. Next time, Nick, we get something like this, that's it. You're coming glamping with me. I'm going to talk about all of the tech that we had in it that we used for summer camping, including one awesome bit of cooking stuff in a future episode. Like, there's a bit of cooking tech, Nick. People are laughing at me because I've called it my gadget of the summer. It could be the How to Clean Our Gadget of the Summer.
Wow.
It's something that I've used a few times, and it's taken an anxiety that I had about a certain aspect of life, and also something when I'm camping, took the anxiety out of it. It made me feel confident in the area. It gave me some oomph.
Okay.
Sounds like an advert for Viagra, but it's not.
It really does.
Something else, yeah. And also,
erectile dysfunction. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah,
you
just
know what I mean?
An
area
rough.
That I didn't have confidence in. It gave me some oomph. If you're suffering with erectile dysfunction, speak to Marcus Bronzy now.
Yeah, shout out to Cofton Holidays for letting us use one of their super pitches with an electric hookup. It was great. And it was just like, I've got to say, for a staycation venue, not only is it good if you're camping, but they've also got cottages, static caravans, but they've also got these lodges. Yeah, Nick, check it. Luxury lodges with a hot tub. Rav?
Come on.
Rav? I saw them in the distance. I didn't get to experience them, but I was like, yo, when the sun's out in Devon, this is where I want to be, drinking some champers in a hot tub with a nice, sexy lodge. So yeah, man, check out their stuff. They were really nice. They gave us the space, let us use it, let us use the electric hookup and try out all the features of the Ford Nugget as well, man. And they've got great facilities. They've got a nice little restaurant on site as well. I just want to say they were really nice, and I'm going back there to spend some holiday time there when I go on staycation.
Yeah,
that's a fact, bruv. I'm paying to do that, bruv. I'm on that.
Lovely neck of the woods as well. You say it's in Cornwall.
Devon. So
Devon. So
Exeter,
just before Cornwall.
Just before Cornwall. Yeah. So I was like, Exeter. So there's actually the Jurassic Coast. So you can drive around there. This lovely little area. You can drive around it in your car. You can cycle around there. And for somebody who's not been on a flight out of the country for over a year, when I touched down on Exmouth Beach and put my feet in the sand and the sun hit me and I closed my eyes for 10 minutes. I felt like I was on holiday, Nick.
Come on.
Absolutely lovely. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
Absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. Yeah.
Absolutely great. But yeah, I'll tell you more about my summer bits of tech that I love in another episode. But I think that's about it for now. I think we can wrap up. You can find me on social media at Marcus Bronzy, or us at How to Kill an Hour. Where can we find you, Nick Bright?
Just grab me on Insta, mate, at Nick Bright. Just my name. Simple as that.
TikTok? Yeah. TikTok,
no
yet?
TikTok, no. In my feelings challenges and all of that crap. Not yet.
No silhouette challenge.
No silhouette challenge, or you know, fart challenge, or whatever the next thing is they come up with on TikTok. You know, how to shit your pants and make it hilarious challenge.
I wanted to do a silhouette challenge where I just like had a massive sock hanging between my legs, so that I look really well endowed, but I just never got around to it, bro.
Everyone would know it's a lie, Marcus, so you know, there was no point doing it.
Pure comedy value it would be, yeah. Pure comedy value. But yeah, I reckon you will be on TikTok. You'll find your route now. I think with TikTok, right, it's in its stage now where it's young. And then it's almost at the stage now where I think you'll find a way where you're like, oh, cool, I'll use it like this. Kind of like how Twitter used to just be like, you know, when there was mad hashtags and people used to crack jokes. I feel like it's at that stage now. It's fascinating. Well, anyway. Like,
hashtag follow Friday.
Yeah, that's it. Hashtag follow Friday. Fucking hell. Throwback Thursday on Insta as well. Anyway, yeah, let's get out of here now. There's plenty of ways to kill time. Thank you for killing some time with us. Bless.
Safe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.